Hello and welcome to the first ever Gaming with X3 News podcast with me, your host, Jack Fuller. This is the podcast where we talk about all the gaming news that's happened in the past week. So, to kick things off, let's talk about Diablo 3. Now, Diablo 3 launched this week, and my God, the midnight launch pictures are crazy. There's so many people lining up to get their copy of Diablo 3. And apparently, some guys already completed it within the first 12 hours of having it. Now, for me, a game like Diablo 3, you should cherish, you should spend a lot of time playing it. You shouldn't really speed run for it, but I get why you enjoy speed running. I enjoy speed running. Games like Battlefield, Call of Duty, I love just burning through straight to the end. I'm not really there to savour the storyline. I'm there to just really get a grip with the action and just go for it as fast as I can, because that's the tempo those games try and instill in us. But games like Skyrim, Red Dead Redemption, GTA, you want to take slowly. You want to enjoy every bit. I love taking Skyrim slowly. I'll just wander around for a bit. Most people ask me when you travel in Skyrim, because you can go by horse to your specific destination. I like to walk there because I like finding all these different places that sometimes I've never found before. And I've played through the game like six times. Like, I've played through the game six times with six different characters and never once completed the main storyline. It's crazy, that much depth. But apparently Diablo 3 has been a success, even though it took some time for people to get onto the servers. So apparently they're getting Error 37, which became infamous and was trending on Twitter and everything. And they can't play it because they got kicked off. But it's kind of weird because Blizzard make you have 100% connection to the internet at all times. But I don't like that. In the gaming industry, we're not fans of being forced to be connected to the internet all the time. I really don't enjoy it. Sometimes I just want to play a game and not have any notifications or anything come up. But that's Blizzard for you, and it's going to be a top game. I might even get it. I'm not really a big Diablo fan. I'm not really a big Blizzard fan. I haven't played World of Warcraft, Starcraft, or any of the Diablos, so I might get it. Moving on, I'd like to talk about FIFA 13. It's the next installment of the FIFA franchise, and it's creatively named FIFA 13. And there's some cool changes that are coming, actually. I was a bit sceptical at first. Usually, I'm a bit of a sucker for FIFA games. I get them and play them within the first week and never play them again. They're one of those games that you have, like, cravings for. Like, you'll crave playing a game of FIFA just randomly one day, like a few months down the line. Or you get them because it's the only thing your friends will really play on the Xbox. Because I've got two groups of friends. One, I've got my uni friends, and two, I've got my friends back at home. And my friends back at home are all football nuts, really, and all they ever do is argue about football teams. And the only games they really play are FIFA. So it's excellent for when they come round, and you can play FIFA with them, and usually I get beaten quite badly because I'm quite a bad FIFA player. You can play it with them, whereas my friends at uni, because they're gamers, they prefer games like Call of Duty Nazi Zombies and Gears of War Horde. It's really quite different. There's really different social impacts of different games. But the changes coming to FIFA 13 are complete dribbling, which has apparently been inspired by the best footballer around at the moment, which is Lionel Messi. So the press release reads, inspired by the world's best footballer, Lionel Messi, this enables players to face their opponent and use precise dribbling touches combined with a true 360 mobility with the ball. So it's easier to be more creative and dangerous in level opportunities. So that means one-on-one opportunities. Players change direction quicker, are more explosive, accelerating with the ball, and are more effective shielding defenders for long stretches. So really it's just geared up for one-on-one play. So it's a bit like FIFA Street. I think FIFA Street, the reboot, has been really, really successful. It's one of those games that's kind of aimed at the 7-year-old, 7 to about 13-year-old. I remember playing the first two original FIFA Streets, and they were awesome. Really good fun, and excellent fun with your mates. So, yeah, FIFA is definitely geared up to enjoy online or against a group of mates. And you can tell that by all the Facebook rules. If you haven't seen any of the Facebook rules, I recommend that you check them out. So on Facebook, the rules are if you lose by a certain number of goals, you have to do this. So if you lose by 5-0, you have to write a Facebook apology to someone. If you lose by 10-0, you have to write a letter of apology to their parents for wasting their time. It's like great fun. It's great stuff like that that comes out of the community. It's really, really good. And FIFA kind of thrives off it now. I'm surprised they haven't kind of implemented that sort of thing. So you can post your scores onto Facebook. That would be a good idea for FIFA at the moment, because it's very, very socially orientated. So another one of these touches is first touch control, which is kind of interesting because in FIFA, most of the time, every player controls it like every other player. But this first touch control means that factors such as defensive pressure and the velocity of the pass now impact the player's first touch. So it means defenders have more chance to win back possession if the striker is under a lot of pressure or they're not that good a player. Because sometimes in FIFA, it does feel like even though you've got Arsenal versus Accrington Stanley, they're kind of levelled in what they can do. So it's interesting to see it there. Apart from speed, speed's always a big, big impact. They've also updated the player impact engine, which I knew some players really didn't like. Some players thought it was absolutely ridiculous, some of the stuff that the player impact engine was forcing characters to do. But it kind of works. And obviously they think that it's worth upgrading, so they're doing it. FIFA 13 is going to look like it's one of those games that everyone's going to buy. Everyone's going to play in the first week. And only really like the big FIFA fans will continue playing. I don't know if I'm going to get it yet. Probably not, because I made a mistake last year of getting it and realising that no one actually plays it who I'm friends with at uni, and because I'm there most of the time, there's no point having it. I might get it to review it, but we'll see, we'll see. On to the next topic is Minecraft. Now, if you don't know, I'm a massive fan of Minecraft. I love the whole indie scene with games. Fez just came out recently on the Xbox Live Arcade, and it was fantastic. You should really, really get Fez. I wasn't too sure on it at first, but when I started getting into it, about half an hour in, and I was gripped. I was really, really gripped. I was looking up guides on how to find these cubes, because you've got to break Tetris codes. It's just a fascinating game, and the gameplay is super simple. Same with Minecraft. If you want to make a good game, don't go for the storyline. This is what I've learned doing my university course. Always make a game around a gameplay mechanic. So say Portal. The gameplay mechanic is setting up portals so you can travel across. That's so simple. And then in Portal 2, they just added gels. I mean, how fantastic is that? And they make a winning, award-winning game. Whereas somewhere like GTA is all story-based and Skyrim is all story-based, really. And they didn't get any awards. It's the gameplay that really shines through, and it's the gameplay that critics are really, really looking for. I know you shouldn't pander to critics, but they're the guys who are going to sell your game. Going back to Minecraft, sorry, I digressed a bit. Minecraft, it came out on the Xbox recently, and it's now version 1.6.6 on the Xbox 360 compared to the PC version. So that's the port, whereas the PC version at the moment is on 2.5. And I was playing it earlier on the PC, and I just love it on the PC because you can get texture packs, you can get mods. It's much more accessible on the PC in terms of content. There's a lot more content and you can add in all extra stuff. But that being said, Minecraft on the Xbox 360 is fantastic for multiplayer. Even if you're not a fan of Minecraft, I recommend that you get it. One, so you can experience it with mates. And two, so you can just experience Minecraft. It is really, really accessible on the Xbox 360 with all the multiplayer. You can do 4 local split screen, or you can do up to 8 online. I mean, playing Minecraft with 8 people on the Xbox 360 is awesome. It's so complicated to set up on the PC. You've got port forwarding, you've got to set up a server. It is really overly complicated for what they're trying to do, and that's bringing a community. I mean, Minecraft's already got a massive community. Just look at the Syndicate project on YouTube. He's got over 900,000 subscribers. I bet you at least 80% of them are for Minecraft. So, the updates that they're bringing to the Xbox 360 version of Minecraft are added pistons, fixed clay generation, flint and steel or redstone, which can now trigger TNT. Sorry, I wasn't reading the whole thing. Fences can now be stacked, added shears, redstone wire can now connect to a repeater, so that means we're going more technological. It's going to be interesting to see what the creation some people come up with. Shears can be used to pick up leaf blocks, so you've got more blocks. It can be used to shear sheep. Sheep no longer drop wool from being punched. That was a weird one. New textures for cobblestone and brick blocks, and silverfish skin was added. Okay, so they've added silverfish. Another thing they're also changing is the way clay spawns. Because at the moment, clay is very rare in Minecraft. And a lot of players are having trouble collecting it. So they've added that to be more abundant, which is excellent to see. What is also excellent to see is the fact that they're thinking of updating it so close to it being released. I don't know if you know this, guys, but Minecraft sold over 1 million copies on the Xbox 360 already. And it's been out, what, a week and a bit? It's absolutely nuts. It's the fastest selling arcade game of all time. Just after Trials of Evolution, which was an excellent game. There's been some really top-notch arcade games coming out at the moment, guys. Really recommend you check out the Xbox Live Arcade. It's a very, very strong marketplace at the moment. So yeah, it's awesome to see 4J and Mojang looking to update Minecraft so quickly. It's kind of weird, because when you bought Minecraft on the Xbox 360, you bought it as an incomplete game, and you kind of bought it knowing this. You kind of had to put your faith into the developers that they would continually update it. And it's kind of the same with the original Minecraft. Minecraft I got when it was in beta mode 1.8. And I had no idea how far they were going to take it. I didn't know if they're just going to say, okay, we've taken it this far and stop. I think that's what they'll have to do eventually, because I think it will eventually run out of steam. And that'll be a sad day. But at the moment, I'm really, really pleased with how 4J are looking to the future. I mean, Minecraft on the Xbox 360 could have been really badly received, but it wasn't. They took a big risk with bringing it to the Xbox 360, and it paid off, definitely. Which is interesting, because games like The Witcher, The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings, did really, really well on the Xbox 360. I mean, not many people picked them up because they came out a year after they came out on the PC. And people were like, oh, is this going to be the same game? Is it going to be a different game? But critics really loved it. And they're thinking of bringing Guild Wars 2 and Diablo 3 to a console. And it's just so hard porting a PC game. PC games are known for their accessibility, their really high-powered graphics. Whereas a console is much more slimline. It's much more efficient than a PC. So it's really, really hard porting a PC game to an Xbox game. And also, the one thing you have to think about with your PC game is controls. You are very limited in terms of console compared to PC. The controls for Minecraft were excellent. That is how you do a port. The way they streamlined the crafting system was excellent. I really recommend that you read my review, just doing a bit of advertising there, because I loved the way that they changed the interface. It was fantastic. I really loved it how you spent more time digging around and stuff than crafting, because crafting was so streamlined. So moving on, I still got two topics left. So hold with me, guys. I've got Call of Duty 2 and Halo 4 to talk about. And I'm kind of going to talk about them in the same section. So, Halo 4 and Black Ops 2. Very different games, very similar games in more ways than one. So, they're both first-person shooters. They're both renowned for their multiplayer. And they are launching in the same week. I mean, that is just ridiculous. I know what one I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Halo 4. And if you haven't checked out the recent box art, it's fantastic. Really do check it out. I love the way that Microsoft sent it out. What they did, they sent an email to 32 fans with one piece of the jigsaw in it, marked X/32. And these fans had to get together and kind of put it together. It's really, really fantastic. It's a lovely piece of box art. I've got it as my iPad wallpaper now. But it's really, really good. Going back, I really digress a lot, don't I? So Halo 4 takes place 4 years after the events of Halo 3, which is fine. Because if you didn't play the game on Legendary or complete it on Legendary and just looked it up on YouTube like I did, you'd know that Master Chief actually survived the ending. And he wakes up. And Cortana's there, and Cortana is going to be one of the main characters. She's facing rampancy because an AI has about a lifespan of 8 years, and she's about to hit her 7th year, and she's probably going to go crazy pretty much. So that's the storyline of that. Whereas Black Ops, from the trailer, nothing really has changed. I mean, you ride horses, it's all about set pieces. They have all these massive set pieces to distract the player from the fact that the gameplay is all the same. I mean, you get to ride a horse in Black Ops 2. They're like, what can we do to change up Call of Duty? Let's put in a horse. It's not that creative. Red Dead Redemption did it really, really well. But it's a first-person shooter and you've got to be shooting on a horse with some high-powered gun. And oh my god, Call of Duty, it's kind of hit one of those. It's slowly running out of steam, I think. The developers are like, okay, we're slowly running out. They really need to revolutionise it. Because as soon as they revolutionise Call of Duty again, like they did with Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the whole gaming industry will just benefit from it. The amount they benefited from Call of Duty Modern Warfare and that multiplayer is fantastic. It's the only time in the multiplayer where I've really been bothered about prestiging. I prestiged like 3-4 times, whereas I have friends who went up all the way to the temp and haven't stopped with the other games. But when it comes down to it, I'm always going to be a Halo fan over Call of Duty, just because Call of Duty is so similar. And one of my pet hates is Call of Duty Elite. It is actually ridiculous, okay? You guys will remember Bungie.net, which was a free service, totally free. You could pay for more video space so you could upload your own videos. But when it came down to it, it was free and it offered everything that Call of Duty Elite offered. And Call of Duty Elite, what, is 40 quid a year? And it's just not worth it, guys. Really isn't worth it. And I bet you, for all the people who have bought it, how many of you actually use it? Be really interesting to see the stats from that site. Because that's what Bungie recognised. They're like, we're not going to make people pay for this if they're not going to use it. I mean, I used Bungie.net a bit, but I never used it religiously. And I'd never have paid for it. So it's kind of a toss-up, guys. I'm really not liking Call of Duty Elite. I think it's just a money hoarding system. But that's it. That's my opinion on things. So that's it for the week, guys. Thank you for listening. These will come up every Wednesday, and they'll be about 10 minutes to 20 minutes long. These will be uploaded onto YouTube and iTunes, so be sure to check them out. You can just play them in the background while you're doing whatever you want to do, while you're gaming, for instance, or while you're just doing a bit of washing up. So yeah, thank you for listening, guys. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. It is free. So I shall speak to you next Wednesday with Gaming with X3 News.